Glory. First, let me say it's a real privilege to be in Buckeye Lake. I haven't been in this part of the country very much. For the exception, I was born in Zanesville, but I haven't been there. I think I've been there once for just a few minutes in about the last 30 years or so. But I don't know where to start, Jeanette. You have to just kind of bear with me for a minute because I usually don't know where I'm going, and I have to start treading water. And yes.
Can I say something before you get started? Sure. Might help your direction.
Yes.
When Joni in the dome was singing, I had saw something, and what it was there were dams that were bursting.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, yes, that's what's going to happen and is happening in each of us.
Yes.
Most of us, probably most of us here tonight, have been dammed up for many years. I know I was. And we were dammed up, hemmed in, boxed in, mainly through a religious system.
Yes. Amen.
And sometimes, and I say it jokingly, but sometimes when I'm asked to introduce myself, I'll say, "Hi, my name's Gary Sigler. I'm a recovering Christian."
I love it.
And I don't mean that in a bad way, because, you know, there are no bad Christians. In fact, there are no bad people.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now, if you haven't heard that before, you're probably saying, "I don't know if I want to listen to this guy or not." Because I have eyes and I can see bad people all around me. Well, you know, that's one of our biggest problems,
right?
Is because of our perceptions.
That's right.
Yeah.
Come on.
But when we begin to see those as who they are, the perception begins to change.
Yeah.
And you know, if I look at you and I see a prostitute, then you know what? I'm not going to be able to help you.
Nope. Right.
Then you may be that. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, in the natural, in our perceptions, we'll see a lot of people and perceive them a certain way. But if we begin to understand that the seed of Christ, the seed of God, is the true identity of every person on this earth.
Amen.
And when you see a bad person, so called, if you have a revelation, first of all, this revelation must come to us. We must be unveiled to the reality of who we are.
Amen.
And when I say that, I really don't mean who we are. What I really should say is we have a revelation of who He is.
That's right.
See? It's this whole message. It's not about us, and it's not about what we are going to become or what we have become. The message is about Him. Well, who's Him? Him is Christ.
Amen. He
is who we are.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
He is. And the dams and the veils that have been over our eyes, and most of us have had those veils put over us by our religious traditions and our teachings.
Yes.
Who, you know, 15 years ago, when I began to speak to someone like I'm speaking today, you can imagine there are very, very few people who could accept the truth of their own being. But mostly because they've been in church all of their lives taught about how bad they were.
Yep.
And you see, religion is a recovery program. And that's not too bad, because some of us really need some good psychological counseling. Well, you know, when I managed one of the largest Christian bookstores in the country. And there were more books in that bookstore on psychology and how you should treat your children, and how husbands and wives, could learn to love one another, and how we could learn to accept one another. And I'm thinking, my God, these books don't belong in a Christian bookstore. Think about it. Because here all of our lives we're taught that Jesus lives in us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Without any truth, without any reality of that statement.
Yeah.
And we dare not admit that because we know. You see, I knew that Jesus did live in me. Well, I knew that he was in me because I had a tremendous experience of being regenerated. And what some call born again and saved. So I knew there was another life that was in me. But yet religion tries to teach you how to be like Christ.
Yeah.
And see, that's the problem, because then it gets us into our natural carnal understanding, trying to make ourselves better by what we do. And see, the revelation of Christ in you, when God by His Spirit unveils the reality of Christ in you, it takes all of the try out of the Christian life.
Yes, amen.
It takes all of the sweat out. It takes all of the discouragement out. Because when God by His Spirit reveals the truth and the reality of Christ in you, then living as a Christian is effortless.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yet for 13 years, I made it a goal every day of my life to either do this or not do that. To quit this, you know, or do this, or not go in that place, or not do this. And for 13 years, I was the most discouraged person, I thought, that I'd ever met in my life. Mm-hmm. Loved God with all my heart.
Right.
But I was totally ineffective in making this human image of myself called Gary Sigler. I was totally ineffective in trying to make him more acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one day God began to speak to me. And by His speaking to me, He began to reveal to me the truth of my true nature.
Yeah.
You see, we talk about the new creation all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about a new creation in Christ Jesus. But we really, I mean, we believe it, but we don't really experience it. And Christianity takes the New Testament and tries to teach you in your humanity how to be a better person. And that's where we miss it, because we can never take this human expression or this carnal person that we've grown up to be and make it godly. It is absolutely impossible. Yet when the veils come off of our eyes and we see by revelation that Christ truly is my identity,
yeah.
It goes from here to here.
Mm-hmm.
It goes from being a doctrine of Christ in me to the reality of, once again, God is manifested in the flesh. And Christians are afraid of that.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid of it. Why? Because of what we've been taught.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good. And a lot of times people misunderstand what is being said. There's people today saying, you better stay away from Gary because he runs all over the country telling people he is God.
My.
Isn't that terrible?
Oh, terrible.
But here is what I truly say. This is not what everybody hears, but this is what I say. Am I God? Absolutely. But listen, if you take a cup of water out of the ocean, in that cup of water, is there not everything that the ocean is? Everything. One cup out of the ocean, you could say you have all the elements, you have all the substance, you have everything that the ocean is in that cup. But that cup is not all of the ocean. See, and that's all we're saying. Everything that God is, His wonderful, exalted, uplifted, transcendent life is now in our being. Everything that He is, His wonderful nature, His inexpressible love, everything that God is now in our being.
Hallelujah!
But we are not all that God is. We are just a part of the whole. And when you begin to understand that, you see, it breaks down every barrier.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. When you understand that God is the true nature, God is the true substance and the true being of all of humanity. You will have no more walls.
Amen.
There's a church recently established called No More Walls.
Whoa.
I hope they mean it.
That's what I said.
But usually, you know what we do is we just build another box. And one of the greatest deceptions, you know, it said in the very beginning in Genesis that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And so, you know, religion's tradition has taken that and put that subtle creature somewhere out here and built such an empire and such a powerful being and such a great force that he kind of tripped up God and he took a third of the angels and he just, you know, he wreaked havoc on God's creation. Now that's what religion has told you, and probably some of you here tonight still believe that. The thing that's more subtle than any creature that God has ever made is your mind.
Yes. Yes. I believe that.
That's the subtlety.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason that all of us, we've all been hungry for God. You wouldn't be here tonight if you weren't, you know, if you didn't love God and you didn't appreciate and enjoy the fellowship. We've all loved God and we've all sought after God. But our mind is the most subtle creature that was ever made. And so out of our search for God and not understanding the spirituality and the spiritual truth of God have formed religions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every religion of the world, there's not a whole lot of difference between any of them. In fact, if you do a study on comparative religions, which we were talking about that some this week, you'll find that the virgin birth was taught in some of the pagan religions, what we call pagan religions. You'll find that some of the truths that Jesus taught was taught by the Buddhists. Some of the very, almost the same expressions. And if you study comparative religions, you'll find that there are many, many religions, and all of them have had a grain of truth.
Amen.
A spiritual revelation or an understanding of God. But when we get that revelation, then, because of not understanding how God operates, we try to figure out with the subtlety of the mind what this is all about. And we create religion. See? Some of the greatest theological minds in the world. Now I'm talking about theologians with the degrees and the doctorates cannot agree on scriptures, what they mean. Now, if some of the greatest theologians in the world cannot agree on what the scriptures truly mean, who do we think we are that we have it all figured out? But yet that is the position of almost every denomination, non-denomination, free group, because we have all been hoodwinked by the subtlety of the human mind.
Yes.
Because we think we know the answers.
Hallelujah.
And the truth and the reality of our being is hidden and covered up by religious tradition. Every church teaches, almost every, I don't know any that don't, I'm talking about the Christian church, will teach the fundamental truths that we all believe in. But when it comes to spiritual things, and it comes to the doctrines of the Word, they will fight among themselves. An example of that is, I've used this before, is take, for instance, the Baptist denomination. They are divided something like 300 different times amongst themselves, and some of them, they're divided over just the doctrine on how to baptize. And Pentecostals do that too. Some of the Pentecostals believe that you must be baptized in the name of Jesus only. And if you're not, you're not baptized. And some of them will go so far to say that if you've not been baptized in the name of Jesus, you're not even saved. You see? So they make salvation, and every religion does this, they make salvation, they tell you it's free. They tell you that God loves you, but there's always conditions put upon it.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how much God loves you. If you're not baptized in Jesus' name, you're going to hell.
Yep.
And some of them are that, you know, just that bad. Then others say, no, you don't be baptized in the name of Jesus only. You must be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Because even Jesus himself said that unless you're baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, see? So here we have, just over the issue of baptism, we have over 300 different divisions within one denomination. You know, some people believe that you need to be baptized in fresh water, some in seawater, some three times face forward, some backwards. It's ridiculous. In the Pentecostals, back in the early 1900s, was the closest we've ever come, at least in our generation, of seeing unity come into the church in the very beginning with this wonderful experience called the baptism in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I came into Pentecost in about 1969, and we all thought that that was the one thing that was going to unify our church.
Mm-hmm.
When I say our church, I meant all churches. Mm-hmm. Because all we had to do is get them baptized in the Holy Ghost and begin to speak in tongues, and we'd all be one because of that experience. Well, we see what happened to that, don't we? Because the subtlety of the mind, the Pentecostals have divided how many times over issues and doctrines.
Uh-huh.
And most of us as Christians, we don't even know what the church is. How many of you still say, I'm going to church thinking about the building on the corner? That's very subtle.
Uh-huh.
I have to admit, I catch myself doing it. Thinking about a building on the corner being a church. It's very subtle. But you see, if you think the church is a building on the corner, and then the preacher convinces you that that's where you have to go, then you can get in another box. But if you discover the truth of what Jesus said, that the church, you know what the church really is? The church is only Christ. That's what the church is. The church is Christ in you.
Yes.
In me.
Amen.
And in you. That's the church.
Amen.
It's the unveiling and revealing of Christ once again in human flesh.
Yes.
That's what the church is. Well, if you really understand that, then see all the divisions would crumble. And that doesn't mean we'd all leave our Baptist churches or our Pentecostal churches or whatever. That's not the point. You know, leaving the church ain't going to help you a bit. A lot of people leave the church thinking, you know, they've really got somewhere. But leave. You see what happens when we leave a church? Guess what goes with you? All the stuff you've been taught.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get out of the church, but I'll tell you what, to get the church out of you is very, very difficult.
Amen.
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 One of the things, I think the first time, I'm not sure about this, but I think this is right, the first time church is mentioned, I believe, is in Matthew 18 or 16, when Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're a prophet, and some say you're a teacher. And you know, people say that today. Some people today say, well, Jesus, he was just another teacher, or he was a good prophet. I mean, they say the same thing today.
Yeah.
But Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said to Peter, he said, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father has revealed to you the truth of my being.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Well, the Catholics think he meant Peter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, and they think that Peter was the first pope, that God was going to build his church on the Apostle Peter. But what Jesus said is that upon this rock, what rock? The revelation of Christ.
Amen.
In a man.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now, when he said that, he was not specifically just referring to himself, Jesus of Nazareth. Because you can have a revelation that he was the Son of God, And that's not going to help you a whole lot. But if you understand what he said, what the church is built on is the revelation of Christ in humanity, in a man. Now see, we all need that revelation. And this is what Paul meant when he said in Corinthians, he said, you know, at one time we knew Christ after the flesh. We knew him as the man of Galilee. But henceforth we know him no more. And he said, from henceforth we do not know any man after the flesh.
Yes.
You see what I said in the beginning? We see homosexuals, we see lesbians, we see prostitutes, we see thieves. We see good people and we see bad people. We see people according to the flesh.
Yes.
Paul said, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Well, if you can get past the flesh, and I believe this is what Jesus said. Well, man, when he said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. We must get beyond the humanity of that man of Galilee.
Yeah.
And we must get past our very own flesh.
Yeah.
And realize that the same Christ that walked the shores of Galilee, the same Christ that raised the dead and opened the eyes of the blind, where is he now? He's in a many-membered body.
Yep.
He didn't go anywhere except in you and me. And that's what he meant when he told his disciples that I must go away, because if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come. But when he comes, he will teach you all things.
Yes.
Well, who do we rely on today to teach us?
Man.
Most of us rely on men. Our pastors or our leaders or our teachers. We rely on them to teach us. You know what? Until you get past that, they're not going to be able to help you a whole lot.
No.
Because what a pastor, evangelist, prophet, teacher, apostle, whatever you're looking to, until you yourself have a revelation of Christ in you and the anointing that abides and teaches you of all things, you won't be able to hear the pastor. But once that anointing begins to move and stir in you, then when you hear your pastor speak, it'll confirm what God is beginning to reveal to you and show to you.
See?
I've been saying for years now, there is no man alive, and never has been a man alive, who can teach you how to live in the kingdom of God.
That's right. I believe that.
That's what we've been trying to do.
That's right.
And it's the same thing as if you take a seed of corn. In the seed of corn is everything that seed needs to fully produce a corn kingdom.
Yes.
But we don't have to teach that seed how to grow, do we?
No.
Yet that's what we've been doing to Christians. People who have the seed, the life, the nature, the character of God in them, sitting in our churches, and we try to teach them how to be like God. Same thing as trying to teach a grain of corn. It's just as foolish to do that as it is to try to teach that grain of corn how to be a ear of corn.
Yeah.
It's just as foolish.
Yeah, right.
Because if you have a seed in you, that seed in you will reproduce everything that it is will be reproduced in you. And the only thing that hinders that, and I say hinders because it can't stop it, is the subtlety of the mind. As long as we fall into what we call Satan's tactics, where he only operates, that satanic principle only operates through the human mind.
Right.
Yes. And the carnality of the mind.
Yes.
Right.
It's the only place he has any power.
Right.
You see, religion has taken this, made a personal devil out of this man, this whatever he is, this devil.
Yeah.
And he has a kingdom This devil has a kingdom because he took a third of God's angels away from him. And he has become so powerful that he has his principality, his princes over our cities, and have you all know what I'm talking about? And they keep people in darkness. And you need to fear all of your life that one day, if you're not careful, if you don't stay prayed up, read up, fasted up, one day that devil is going to get you. And if he doesn't get you, he's going after your kids. And so you don't dare to let your kids out of your sight. That's all a fabrication.
And cities. Hallelujah.
You say, how can you say that? Because I can give you scripture. No, you know what the scriptures really say? That he, Jesus, destroyed him who had the power of death.
Amen.
That is the devil.
Amen.
Right. Hallelujah.
Well, we don't believe it. And you know why we don't believe it? Because we experience those principalities and powers. We experience the demonic forces. Some of us have even seen these demonic creatures and have battled with them. Why is that? Because you believe what you've been told.
Right.
If you believe that there is a being who has more power over your life than God, then guess what you're going to experience?
Yes, yes.
We all believe in the power of God. We all say and we all know God can do anything. If it just wasn't for that lousy devil. I started a series of messages I'm calling Christ versus Religion. And helping people understand the difference between law and grace. We've had a lot of teaching in the circles that we're all in about, you know, the law and how we don't, you know, we don't live by performance. In fact, we can't live by the law. If you've been a Christian very long, I guarantee you, you've tried to the best of your ability to live according to the standard that you think a Christian could, and you know it's impossible.
Hallelujah.
And if you're doing it, and you think that you're doing it, you probably will become one of those modern day Pharisees that look down on everybody else because you made it and they can't.
Foolish Galatians.
So we know the law is not the answer. The answer is grace. Yet at the same time, so many have picked up on this message about, you know, not being under a law, not being under any restraints. And so it has given license to the flesh. It really has. But you know what? That is not the message. The message is not that since now you are not under the law, you are free to live any way you want.
That's right.
You know what the true message is? The true message is when you turn away from the law and you open your heart to God and realize there is no way that in my flesh, there's no way that I can live that standard. Then grace begins to operate. You see, and grace is what I call a divine enabler.
Yeah.
Because I discovered many, many years ago, after 13 years of struggling and trying to be a Christian to the best of my ability, the very moment that God began to unveil by His Spirit the reality of His life within me, grace began to operate.
Hallelujah.
And it didn't give me a license to sin. You know what it did? It gave me a license to be who I was.
Yeah.
While I was waiting for His Spirit to be strengthened within me. You see, I knew I couldn't do it. But I knew that I wasn't free to just live any way I wanted to. But I was totally free to be who I am. You know, if I smoked, I'd be a smoker. You know, today I tell people, honey, if you're a prostitute, I would never tell you you can't do that. If you're a homosexual, my God, I would never tell you to stop that. You know what I would tell you? I would tell you, enter into His presence. Mm-hmm. You see, religion will tell you that if you're that type of a person, God will turn His back on you. You see, if you're a homosexual, you can't go into God's presence. You can't take sin into God's presence. And so we kill the very people that need God. More than anyone else. So I tell people, don't worry about what you are. You see, because that's not what you are. You may be doing certain things, but that's not who you are. You see, you are a son or daughter of God. That's who you are.
Yes, yes.
And when you discover that, when grace begins to dawn within your consciousness, when the power of His Spirit begins to arise in you,
hallelujah,
grace will enable you to walk out of any situation that you're in.
Yes, amen.
Many people today are causing a lot of hurt. I mean, today, in the message that we're in this message, what I believe is the most greatest revelation that God has ever given to us. Mm-hmm. There are people changing and swapping and, you know, just doing everything because we're not under the law anymore. But that's not the message.
It's not the message.
What I want people to hear more than anything in all the world is that you have the ability of His Spirit within you.
Yes.
You know, and if you're caught up in adultery, if you're caught up in pornography, don't let that stop you. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't get into the presence of God.
That's right.
Because I did when I was into those things. And if God did not give me an understanding that I could remain, I could go into Him, into His presence every day to find grace to help in the time of my need.
Oh, hallelujah.
I didn't have any preachers tell me that.
No.
All the preachers would tell me is, Gary, you can't live that lifestyle. Gary, you can't do that. You know, you can't smoke those cigarettes. You can't go into those places. You can't look at those pornographic books and expect blessing from God. I'm here to tell you that's one of the biggest lies. And it doesn't matter. You see, what you're doing is not who you are.
That's right.
Right. Absolutely.
And once you discover who you are, it will change what you are doing.
That's right. Amen.
And this is the message.
Mm-hmm.
This is the message.
That's it.
And Jesus said it so simply when they came to Him and said, Lord, what must I do? He would simply say, love the Lord with all your heart and love your neighbor. And see, because see, we all love the Lord. And once we discover, and once the love of God is unveiled within us, you can't help it. Love is something that so overwhelms you.
Yeah.
That all you can see everywhere you go, all you can see is the potential of Christ in that person.
Amen.
And you know by experience that you, by His Spirit, the very words that you speak will enter in past the mind of the people that you speak to, and that seed of Christ in them will be watered. Mm-hmm. See, you don't have to teach them, you water them. Mm-hmm. You build them up. You nourish them by the Spirit.
Yes. Yes.
And watch the harvest come forth in their lives. You see, what a difference. What a difference. And this is the revelation that Christ is building His church on. The revelation of Christ in humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else will build the church. Nothing else will build the church. Once you see the reality of Christ in humanity, you will never again see anything Oh, you'll see it. We all have physical eyes, but you'll be able to look past it.
Yeah.
And you'll know the potential of every person. And you go after the potential. I heard a message one time, I think it was by Clarice, what's her name, Fluid? I think it was her. And she talked about God is looking for God. That was the title of her message. And she said, I may not remember the story exactly right because it's been a long time ago, but this really touched me. She said she was in an airport one day, and she said, everywhere I go, I look for God. See, we don't look for sinners to get saved. We just look for God. And if you look for sinners, you'll find him. But if you look for God, you'll look past that, what you call sin, and you'll find him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she said she was in this airport one day, and she saw some, I don't know if they were Hindus, I think, or whatever they were. They had their prayer rug out. They could have been Muslims. And she said they were, you know, kneeling towards the east. They were getting ready to do their prayer right in the airport. And she said, oh, she said, I went over to them, and I said, can I join you? And she said, of course. They said, no, because women, you know, women are allowed to do that, I guess. But she said, do you love God? And they said, yes, we love God. She said, I love God too. And she just began to talk to him. Well, next thing you know, she was down with him on with that prayer rug. Do you see what we've missed? The typical Christian would look at those guys and say, boy, they're deceived by the devil. But they're more justified before God than the self-righteous. Because you see, God is not interested in right doctrine. Boy, that's hard to believe. And I know what the scriptures say about sound doctrine, but you know what? God could care less what you believe between your ears. What you believe between your ears will affect your life. But it's not going to affect God. You know what God looks at? He looks at your heart.
Amen.
And you know, and I get slammed so bad for this, but I say it everywhere I go.
Yeah, here we go.
I don't care if you're I don't care if you're in India and you're a Hindu and you're praying on your prayer rug. If there's something in you, if there's a heart in you that's crying out for God, guess what you get?
You get God.
You get God. And you say, but brother, they're in a pagan religion. They're worshiping an idol. So are Christians. The Christian is just as lost in his religion as a Hindu or a Buddhist. They really are. Oh, we know things right, we think. But what about the heart? You see, when God begins to bring forth his heart within you, you recognize his life everywhere you go. And they may not talk like you. They may not believe like you. But what's in their heart? Is their heart pure? I once heard about Gandhi. I don't know if any of you know the story of Gandhi. Probably some of you do. But he literally changed a nation through nonviolence. Because he believed in a God of peace and love and compassion and understanding. And he literally changed a nation. Yet the Christians would say, most of them, that Gandhi is in hell because he never accepted Jesus. Well, there's a story behind that too. Gandhi said one day, he said, I was almost persuaded to be a Christian, and then I met some. That's the truth. That's the truth.
He also said, be the change you wish to see in the world.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. You be the change that you wish to see in the world.
Amen.
You see? And that's how the world is changed.
Yes.
It isn't changed by you going out and trying to change anything. It's letting the love and the compassion and the ability and the essence of his being begin to flood your consciousness.
Yeah.
And that changes the world.
Yeah.
That's the most wonderful thing. That you know, it's so wonderful, Jeanette, that we are not preaching a religious gospel.
That's it.
You see, you've got to do it this way. Don't you know, if you go out of here tonight and don't receive Jesus, you may die and go to hell. When the scriptures... Now, see, that the God's message is a deeply hidden mystery. It really is a mystery. But it's hidden. But it's so... When you begin to have a spiritual understanding of the Word, you see, you realize that when He died, you died. We know that, right? Yeah. But do you know that when He died, the whole world died?
Yeah.
That's why we're called a new creation.
Yeah.
Because when He died, the whole old creation died with Him. Everything of the old died. All the works, all the devil and all the works of the devil were destroyed at Calvary. And when He came up out of the grave, when He ascended out of the grave, He brought all of creation out of the death of a fallen humanity. But see, we put the responsibility for that back on the human. And saying, well, now, He did this, but you got to do this.
Yep.
And that all that does is get us into the strugglings of our humanity trying to reform ourselves.
That's
right. It puts us in these religious boxes and gives us fear.
Yeah.
You know, we're so afraid. In fact, who was it? Did you mention the word chakra in the night?
Yeah.
See, that's a bad word for most Christians.
Yeah.
And someday I'm going to share on that. Maybe I won't, I don't know, but it's something that's in my heart to do. But people are so afraid of words like chakra. But you know what chakras are? Chakras are the seven seals in the book of Revelation. You have a seal over your mind. You have a seal over your throat. You have a seal over your heart. And so on. And the religionists have taken the book of Revelation and explained the seals, the breaking of the seals, as God pouring out His horrible wrath and judgment on the world.
No.
But let me tell you what. The seal that's being broken right today is the seal over your mind.
Right.
And that's why there's such warfare taking place in our minds.
Right.
And when you hear this message for the first time, or maybe for quite some time, there will be such a warfare in your mind because God is breaking that chakra or that seal over your mind. And when that seal is fully broken and that seal is opened in your mind, guess what you find? The mind of Christ. And you may go through horrible warfare, trials and tribulations or whatever. But you'll find when that seal comes off of your mind, you begin to function from the heavens instead of the earth.
That's right.
You're not standing down here trying to bind devils in the airwaves. You are functioning from the heavenly realm to the earth. You become a priest who brings heaven and earth together.
Hallelujah.
And when that happens, when your mind begins to be opened, the seal begins to break, and the mind of Christ begins to come forth, then comes off the seal of the throat.
That's right.
And you begin to speak of the hidden mysteries and the wonderful expressions of Almighty God that's been placed within you.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
Right.
And the seal comes off of your throat. And then the seal begins to be broken in your heart. And you begin to have the compassion and the love of Almighty God flow from the deepest recesses of your being.
That's right.
And then people say, oh, I'm so afraid because he said chakra. Listen, the Eastern religions have known this truth for years. But we're afraid of it. God help us. But see, all of that, God is bringing such an unveiling.
Yes.
And such an understanding to us that we know today that one of the greatest revelations that Jesus ever gave us was about Himself. And He said, I of mine own self can do nothing.
That's right.
Over the Father.
Yeah.
The Father that dwells within me. Oh God. He can do all things.
Yeah.
All of us need a revelation that in ourselves we can do nothing. Oh my God, if you only knew the hell that I went through. The discouragement, the depression. I spent months in depression, not able to get out of bed because I was so condemned over my condition. But today, the glory of His essence, the being of God is being formed.
Hallelujah.
And this is why Paul cried out to the Galatians. I've been talking a lot recently about the book of Galatians. And Paul cried out, "Oh, foolish ones. Oh, how I travail until Christ be formed in me. Oh, how my heart aches seeing the religion that's been cast over my people. How I long to have an unveiling and a revealing of my essence within you. If you will, but open your heart. Open your mind to a new way and a new understanding. Allow me to bring forth the essence of my being within you. Know that it's as what you're going through even this very hour in this day is simply a warfare to bring forth the essence of my being within you.
Oh, hallelujah.
Count it all joy when you go through trials and tribulations, because you will discover that I am the strength of your being. I am the reality of your life, and I have placed your feet upon a rock, and nothing can stand in your presence all the days of your life. There is no demon. There is no devil. There is nothing that can stand against the essence of my being that's coming forth within you. So be at peace. Just learn to come to me. Come to me without any worries about your condition. Have you not heard that my eyes cannot behold evil? Do you not know that when I look at you, I look beyond where you are? And I see my seed.
Yes.
I see the Christ that you are.
Yes.
And I minister to that.
Yes.
I water that seed. And one day, you will stand in my glory. Manifesting the fullness of my presence to all of the world. You will be able to say that in my flesh I see God. You see, we've been taught that our flesh is evil. Our flesh isn't evil. Our flesh is divine. Is the head not divine? Are we not bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh? Then you must realize by divine revelation that your body is divine.
Yes. We will change the world.
Oh,
amen, brother.
Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Whoa, hallelujah.
Do anybody run off because there's food and fellowship? And
this concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, IGLER, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434 for information concerning her music.
Yes, I'll take.